every champion has a team behind them. And for thousands of families without insurance, Christ Clinic is that team. At Christ Clinic in Katy, Texas, they provide high-quality, faith-based health care to people who can't afford it, because everyone deserves a shot at health, no matter their income or insurance status. Their doctors, volunteers, their mission, rooted in compassion, their impact, over 10,000 patient visits every year and growing. But they can't do it without help from fans like you. If you ever cheered for a comeback story, this is your chance to be a part of one. Donate today at ChristClinicKaty.org and help them keep the doors open for those who need it most. One gift can be the difference between surviving and thriving. Christ Clinic in Katy, where health meets hope and faith goes to work. That's Christ Clinic Katy, spelled KATY.org. Team up with them today.
Hey folks, it's that time again, Sports Overnight America, a different kind of show. We'll talk about this, that, and anything in sports, and world of sports permeates all aspects of our society, the political, the economic, and you'll hear it all night long right here on Sports Overnight America. You can email us at sportsfred@AO.com, sportsfred@AO.com, Sirius 217, XM 203, all the apps, Sports Byline, Sports Map, American Forces Radio, radio station including KSHP in Las Vegas, Nevada, WGCH in Connecticut and New York, 1540 in Salt Lake City, joined, of course, by 127-year-old Art Source, 39-year-old Laura Snoke, and Matthew DeBoss, our sports historian, will join us this evening on Sports Overnight America. We'll play some Barron Sports Trivia, and Arthur Thomas Wolfe. Baseball in the roaring 20s, so right on target as far as Artie is concerned. What are we going to talk about tonight? Lightning in Philadelphia. First game in the NFL on Thursday. They had to stop the game for an hour. When it came back with 20 minutes to go, nothing happened. Final, Philadelphia 24 and Dallas 20. Both quarterbacks played all right. Wide receivers have better catch the ball. But the bottom line is they had to stop it for Lightning, no question. But if you watch the game, you couldn't watch the second half once they came back. They were still in the locker room, basically, and they didn't play well at all. Very boring in the second half. The game ended 9 o'clock Pacific. That's midnight in the East. So, yeah. Philadelphia, I'm sure you enjoyed it. We can talk about that, this, and anything else in sports. The Clippers in trouble with the salary cap. Did they find a way to pay off Kawhi Leonard? $28 million, not off of their salary cap, but another way around it. The NBA had better look into that. Baseball bats, an illegal bat in the Houston Yankee game on Thursday. What are we going to do about that? They said it was illegal, but it wasn't a situation where it gave the team an advantage, so nothing going to happen with that. We'll talk about that in the red zone, getting commercials all straight away on Sports Overnight America.
Okay, let's have a little fun. Do you use the expensive blue pill to perform better? Are you thinking about it? So what if we can promise you results for less than $1 a pill? Okay, so these same pills can cost you $30 or more at a pharmacy. And our better blue pill works for less than $1 a pill. You'll save $29 or more per pill. And right now, we'll give you 120 blue pills for just $99. Have a little fun and call right now. Get 120 of our better blue pills for just $99. Don't overpay for the other blue pills. Call Steel Man Pills right now and get the better blue pill for less than $1 a pill. Call 1-800-BUY-BLUE, 1-800-BUY-BLUE. It's easy to remember. 1-800-BUY-BLUE. That's 1-800-BUY-BLUE. And thanks for calling.
Everyone watches more than 5 hours of television. Really? And that's not counting mobile viewing. Get Dish TV and make that time worth it. With Dish, you can get hundreds of channels, access to all kinds of sports, tons of movies, premium channels, and more. Another thing that's really cool with Dish is you can watch most of your favorite shows on your mobile device anywhere for a lot less than cable. Yes, that's right. We are asking you to watch more TV and not less TV, but make it better television with Dish this time, anytime, anywhere. So call right now and learn how easy it is to save on your television bill and get the most out of your TV viewing experience. Dial that number and I promise you we're here waiting for your call because we want to save you money and give you better television. We are Dish TV.
800-293-0328. 800-293-0328. 800-293-0328. That's 800-293-0328.
This sandwich, it's a complete game changer. Hello, this is Mike, and a little thing I love about the Chick-fil-A Pretzel Cheddar Club is that juicy chicken with that toasty pretzel bun. That bun, it's crispy, cozy, just amazing. With the pretzel bun, the Dijon mustard, and the chicken, it makes that sweet, savory kind of combination. It's everything that you love about food rolled into one. It looks phenomenal. It tastes great. It's delicious.
Order the Pretzel Cheddar Club with Cherry Berry and Sprite for a limited time on the Chick-fil-A app. Real guests paid for their testimonial.
There's nothing worse than losing cell service while exploring the great outdoors, but that's changing fast. T-Mobile is bringing coverage to the most remote parts of the country with T-Satellite with Starlink, reaching over 500,000 square miles where towers can't, thanks to over 650 satellites already in orbit. Over 1 million messages have already been sent in hard-to-reach areas from national parks to remote trails. King of Phillips, travel expert.
As someone who's constantly off the beaten path, this changes everything. Now I can stay connected, even deep in the mountains or deserts.
For more information, visit T-Mobile.com, sponsored by T-Mobile.
Hey, welcome back to the show. Later, we'll have Thomas Wolfe, Baseball in the Roaring Twenties, on. And right now, let's talk about what's going on in the wonderful and wacky world of sports. Let's talk with what happened on Thursday night. Lightning in Philadelphia. Now, I don't know if you guys, Laura and Arj and Matthew, watched the game on Thursday night. But if you did, you'd have to say that the first half was very exciting. Oh. And the second half was blah. Artie, what do you say?
Well, I was real upset because I had the over. I looked really good at halftime. And then all of a sudden, here comes the storm and the lightning. And, you know, I don't know about you guys, and I know safety is real important, but I don't recall prior to 10, 12 years ago, them ever stopping a football game for anything in the old days. I mean, but now, because of safety, I can see why they did it. But I'll tell you what, both teams went into the locker room, and when they came out, they were flat as pancakes. Yeah. It was a completely different game. And, you know, I really thought I saw – Dallas with an opportunity to win that game, and their number one wide receiver, CeeDee Lamb, who's a great player, he had opportunities at the end of the game, and that's the difference between winning a big game and losing a big game. What happens on key downs?
Laura, you watched the game. What do you say?
Well, yeah, I thought, watching the first half, I was wondering whether anybody was going to play defense. But, you know, Philadelphia lost their key defensive lineman when he spit at Dak Prescott. But as it turned out, the film shows that Prescott actually spit first.
Oh, really?
He didn't spit at any. He sort of spit at the whole team. So I guess it didn't matter. But, I mean, what is this with guys spitting on each other? I mean, I don't know. It's creepy. But
it is.
I thought that guy totally lost his cool doing that. And there might be some other penalties they're talking about because you just can't let that stuff get out of hand. But I thought the first half was really fun, and the second half was kind of CeeDee Lamb did drop those passes. I mean, Dallas could have won that game. That would have been a huge win for Dallas.
Yeah,
but.
Prescott said that he spits 50 times a game. So
you know he does. He does a lot. I've watched him a lot. Yeah.
No spitting in football, Matthew DeVos, our sports historian.
Only in baseball can you spit.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the thing is, though, if you notice these recent years, now that you know they've really been cutting back on the preseason and you're not risking your mainline players on exhibition play. Basically, the first two, three games of the regular season are basically played like exhibitions because the regulars are now – this is real full contact now, whereas they didn't have it before. So it's the quality of the play is not exactly up to snuff. So in a sense, that's why – I mean, Laura was right. The Eagles, the defense, have really got to tighten it up, man. They really got to get their act together. So in a sense, the Eagles got lucky. They were able to steal that win against Dallas, get that tiebreaker on because in the NFC East – you winning your intradivisional games is absolutely imperative. You've got to get on the plus side to get those tight divisional.
Their cornerbacks did not impress me in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah, yeah, I know. But the thing is, Eagles got lucky. The thing is, they got to tighten it up. You know, they got to get the regulars. Have got to get used to full contact and all that. You know, actual live combat. And hopefully, you know, their next game against the Chiefs, you know, they're able to, you know, get lucky again. It's going to be interesting to see, you know, how that happens. But the Eagles, you know, they got to get off to a good start.
And the good thing, Matthew, is you're going to have Kansas City coming back from Sao Paulo, Brazil. I mean, that's a 12,000-mile trip for the Chargers, probably nine for Kansas City. That's got to wreak havoc on the body.
I'm upset that this game is happening tonight. I mean, it's just too much football. I mean, Friday night, I always thought, belonged to high school football. So, you know, what about the high school football? What about all the kids that want to watch the game and they're playing for their high school teams? And I know it's all about money, but
I know. You know, hey,
to the point where it's going to be oversaturated and they're going to, I mean, it's too much. They're not, I don't know. I mean, a lot of
what
people
do you got? What do you got there, Fred?
USA Today called you Hurts the quiet Superman this week. And you know, interesting life and career for Hurts. Of course, he's at Alabama and in the bowl game, he's pulled by a Saban, and then he transferred by Tua. Tua plays well. Tua ends up the number one quarterback.
Tirico mentioned that, you know, the guy has played in five championship games in the last 9 years, yet a lot of these NFL insiders rate him like the 10th or 11th or 12th best quarterback. Well, you know, when does winning become as important as having all the quote-unquote talent? The guy doesn't make any mistakes. You caught Dallas in that defense in the key third down at the end of the game with no spy on him. And he goes back, and I called that play before it even happened. I said, they're going to spread everybody out. He's going to drop back, and he's going to go run for the first down. And he did.
I love leadership. Jalen. I mean, look at Bart Starr. Go ahead, Laura. You finish it.
I was just going to say, I love Jalen Hurts. Yeah, and I also really like that. I really like Tirico and Collinsworth. I think they're a great team. I think they really mesh well together. I love listening to them.
Tirico makes Collinsworth a great analyst, in my opinion.
But getting back to Jalen, it's leadership, though. It's like Bart Starr. When you compared Starr's stats with like Johnny U or like Joe Namath, his stats didn't really measure up, but all he did was win championships.
Yeah.
Leadership.
Yeah.
Sports Overnight America, folks. You can email us at sportsfredadale.com, sportsfredadale.com. Matthew, Laura, and Art. And on my favorite show, sports-wise, used to be Real Sports. It's no longer on HBO, but they have Hard Knocks, which is always my second, now my number one sports show. I thought they did a great job with the Buffalo Bills. And, of course, that last segment, always when they make the cuts, Artie, you were involved. You played for the Rams. And that day has got to be so tough for the players. Talk about it.
I actually met the Turk four different times. So when they come and bang on the door and they say, Artie, get your playbook, you know, kickers in the playbook. What do I need a playbook for? But, you know, but that's what they say. You go there and the coach, you know, he builds you all up and, you know, you're down the road motors at that point in time. And like I always say, I was the 27th best kicker in a 24-team league. So that was that's what happens. But you know what? I got to tell you, the one thing great about life is if you keep a positive attitude, you know, somebody else will see you on video or on film in those days, or black and white shutter film in those days. It's so long ago. You know, you're going to get another opportunity. And, you know, it comes down to decisions. Coaches have to make decisions. And in my situation, I had great leg. I had great power. I could hit from 60, 65. But I was as accurate from there as I was from 35. So in retrospect, I kind of understood why, you know, I mean, but, you know, it's amazing. Now, that's another thing we're going to talk about in football. Now the kickers get to kick the footballs during the week, like the quarterbacks get to throw the old footballs. If you notice, they're not brand new footballs, the quarterbacks. Well, now the kickers get to kick them, and that explains why the kicker for Jacksonville, Little, hit a 70-yard field goal in preseason.
Hey, before we go to a break in about 60 seconds, think about this, the Ryder Cup. What do you think a parking pass costs? What do you think a ability to get on the course might cost? Think about it. And we'll come back and talk about that a little later on Sports Overnight America. Of course, Barron's Sports Trivia is Laura's favorite part of the show. Matthew, the sports historian, should do very, very well in Barron's Sports Trivia. And Artie, of course, takes extra medicinal. What do you take, Marty, Artie, for to do well on Barron's Sports Trivia?
Well, the new stuff, and I'm going to tell you, this is the professional formula of Prevagen. I mean, these little jellyfish run around in your brain and they get everything cleared out. It's fantastic how they do it. But I found this new thing, which is really amazing. It's they don't even have a name for it. They just have BPC 157 Pro. Now, I don't know what the amateur formula looks like, but this is pretty good stuff. But it does help the noodle, keeps things in order, although I do forget things occasionally. What's the name of the show again?
Right. All right, we'll take a break and come back with Barron Sports Trivia on Sports Overnight America.
Special alert for consumers struggling to pay taxes. There are new tax regulations, not published yet. We have the inside track on your new tax savings. These programs are designed to help struggling taxpayers like you. The COVID relief programs are gone, but there are new programs to help struggling taxpayers. And we have the inside track. Call now and we'll take you through these new programs. These taxpayer savings programs have never been available until now. Get out of tax trouble now. It doesn't take weeks. It can happen in one phone call. Call now and get the inside track to get rid of your tax problems.
Call the tax helpline now. 800-949-0039. 800-949-0039. 800-949-0039. That's 800-949-0039. Do you need to sell your home? If you've sold a home before, you remember how stressful and expensive it was. Sold.com is here to help you sell your home for the most money and with the least amount of stress. There are new ways to sell your home that you've never heard of before. Did you know there are companies who will offer you cash for your home? Did you know you could trade in your home for a new one? Did you know there are realtors who will sell your home for a flat fee instead of an expensive commission? It's true. Sold.com services are free. So if you're looking to sell, make this free phone call right now and learn how your next home sale can be faster and easier than you ever thought possible. Pick up your cell phone and call right now. 800-251-7816. 800-251-7816. 800-251-7816. That's 800-251-7816.
This is a true sad story for ADT, the leader in home security systems. My favorite dog, Oliver, was stolen from our garage recently. If I had a camera system installed in my home from ADT, I would have known exactly what car possibly pulled up in my driveway and stole my little friend. If I had a security system from ADT, my dog would still be here. I called ADT this weekend and they're coming out in a few days to install a camera and a new security system. Unfortunately, it's a little too late for me. Listen, protect everyone you love in your family. Call ADT now. Have them come out and give you a quote to install a full security system in your home. Don't let it be too late for you. Call right now.
Paid for by the Home Security Hotline. 800-361-3491. 800-361-3491. 800-361-3491. That's 800-361-3491.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. Sports Overnight America. We'll play some Barron Sports Trivia, Laura's favorite part of the show. Baseball in the Roaring Twenties. Later with Thomas Wolfe, we'll discuss baseball in 1926. The Yankees, of course, lose to the Cardinals in the World Series. They win, of course, and maybe the best team in the history of baseball in 27. But so much was going on. Thomas Wolfe will discuss that with us in a few. But right now, it's Barron Sports Trivia. But before we get to Barron Sports Trivia, I asked a question a few seconds ago about the Ryder Cup. And Artie was a professional golfer. Artie, what do you think it costs to be a fan on the course in New York? What do you think it costs?
Well, I think it's going to be $200 a day, and I think parking is probably going to be at least that. So I think you're going to be looking at a three-day tournament. If you go Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, it's going to cost you over probably a couple grand.
Matthew, what do you think it might cost?
Geez, I mean, where are they playing this again? Was it in New York?
Bethpage Black on Long Island.
Oh, Long Island, geez, yeah. I mean, Ritzyville, yeah, it's got to be at least, I bet you even more, probably $3,000. I mean, depending on how close you are to the action, man, I figure the closer you are to where the good stuff is, yeah, the more it's going to cost, man. So, and Long Island's nothing but fat cats, man. I mean, you're talking about the Hamptons and all that, you know. So, yeah, I bet you more. I'd say $3,000 at least.
Laura, what do you think about that?
They were talking about tickets to the U.S. Open the other night at just $2,000 or $3,000 a seat for, you know, not even the semifinals. So yeah, it's gonna $5,000 maybe for sure.
I mean, I heard,
yeah, you had full houses like a couple nights ago. Yeah,
what's your friend?
I heard $749, but I think that just for one day. So
yeah.
That's $3,000 over the 4 day situation. All right, Barron Sports.
That doesn't count food though.
Yeah, that too. Yeah, that too.
Oh, would you like a beer? Alcohol. That'll be $25, please.
Right. That doesn't count food and alcohol. So.
Yeah, but Joker's playing Alcaraz tonight, so I bet you a full house, baby. Yeah, it's got to be a full house tonight. Yeah. You know, this afternoon they're
it's
playing.
It's actually today. It's actually
Right now. I think it's right now. Yeah.
I'm recording it.
Yeah.
We're not allowed to talk about that.
Barron Sports Trivia, 1981, the New York Jets had one of the best defensive lines maybe in history, Mark Gastineau and company. Laura, what was it called? The New York Jets defensive line in 1981, 82, in that era. What might it have been called?
The defensive line?
Mm-hmm. Four of them were very good together. People were talking about it. They've talked about it forever.
Forever. Uh-oh.
Think of Broadcom.
Think of Broadcom. I don't know. My husband interviewed with Broadcom. Okay, what? Think of Broadcom. I don't know.
Okay, Mario. Matthew, you're a sports historian. What do you think it was called? What the defensive line for the Jets in 81 and company? What would it might have been called?
The Sack Exchange.
The New York?
The New York Sack Exchange. Remember, you know, I got a little story I want to tell you because
I love it.
When I was writing my first book, my Bench Bosses, the NHL's Greatest Game, I was talking to a guy in a bar once. He actually was an undrafted free agent. He was at a training camp with the Jets. It was like 81, 82 during that time period. And he talked about personalities. And he said, they hated Gastineau to a T. He said Klecko was really what he was, man. He was the real deal. He said the real unsung hero was Lions. He was the real unsung hero.
From University of Alabama. Hell of a ball player.
Yeah. But he said Gastineau, he said they hated his guts. They all hated him.
Well, you know, I got to tell you another quick story, really quick. When the Raiders came out to play the Jets came out to play the Raiders, I believe it was in 81 or 82, Alzado and Gastineau were on the field, and I was standing just right there like a fly on the wall, and they were talking about steroids. And how about how they had bulked up incredibly. And these guys were in their football pants and their Schimmel shirts. And I'm telling you, it was ripples upon ripples. Looked like Lay's Ruffles potato chips. I mean, it was – I couldn't believe it. But, I mean, these guys were so pumped up. And, I mean, what a great game that was. I mean, you had one-eyed Wesley Walker. Oh, boy, that was a heck of a AFC divisional championship game.
Yeah. Yeah, but his head was his own worst enemy.
Yeah.
Playing Barron Sports Trivia with Matthew, Laura, Art, and yours truly, Fred. You can email us, sportsfredadale.com, sportsfredadale.com. All right, Artie, you're 127 years of age in the 60s. the Minnesota Vikings had a nickname. What might that have been?
The purple people eaters.
Purple people eaters. Why?
Yeah, they had Carl Eller.
Why didn't you give me that question?
They had Larson. They had Alan Page.
And Jim Marshall
not being in the Hall of Fame is one of the most overlooked things in the history of the NFL. The guy had 136 sacks. He was amazing, even the wrong way run. You remember that, Matthew?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that was a heck of a ball club, but you know what? They never won the big prize, the big ring.
I know. Tragedy.
And I think that's the reason why some of them were never, you know, given the kudos they deserved.
One of them became a federal judge, Minnesota. Page. Which one? Alan Page? Alan Page from Notre Dame.
Out of Notre Dame. Yeah.
Page.
Became
a state federal Supreme Court justice, if I recall correctly. I think the chief justice, too. Yeah, I don't think a federal judge. I think he was a Illinois or Minnesota.
He was Supreme Court of Minnesota, and he was the chief justice.
That's it. Truth. Yeah, truth.
Brilliant guy.
Yeah.
All right, let's go back to Barron's Sports Trivia. Let's go to baseball, and this is right on target for Laura, of course. Trey Turner, 200 hits now in this baseball season. Where did he begin his career, Laura Snoke? Where did he begin his career? Right now he's playing for Philadelphia. He played for the Dodgers. Where did he begin his career, Laura?
With the Nats?
I don't know. Is that a guess?
It's an educated, non-educated guess.
You say the Nats?
I know he played for the Nats. Or I thought he played for the Nats.
You get one guess here, dear.
All right, the Nats. I'll say the Nats.
All right, Matthew, is it the Nats?
I haven't the faintest idea, man. I'll go with Laura, man. I truly don't know. I really don't know.
Don't go with me, Matt.
I trust you more than I trust myself.
Art, was it the Nats? Washington Nats?
The Curly W's, maybe. The Washington Nationals or the ex-Montreal Expos.
Hey, I have a sports trivia question for you guys, which I'm sure you'll know the answer to, but it's such a great quote. So here it is. If I just tried for those dinky singles, I would have hit 600. What was that? If I just tried for those dinky singles, I would have hit 600.
Hey, Bruce.
Ted Williams? I don't know. Who said it?
Ted Williams?
I'm asking you.
I say Babe Ruth.
You say Babe Ruth.
Not Ruth. No. I think it's Teddy Ballgame. Got to be Teddy Ballgame.
And Fred, do you have an opinion since you're always asking the questions?
I said Ted Williams. I'll stick to Ted.
Okay. Art's right. Babe Ruth.
Really? Babe Ruth? Wow. Well, he was a career lifetime 342 hitter, the Babe.
I know. And nobody ever talks about it either. I mean, the guy, wow. Yeah.
That was great. Those dinky singles.
Yeah. All right, Art. This is Barron Sports Trivia, baseball-wise, for you. Trey Turner went over 200 hits this week with the Phillies. Who was the last Philadelphia Phillies player to go over the 200 hit limit level? 200 hits in a season. Who might that have been? He played not too long ago. Art, who might that have been?
I'm thinking that second baseman. I'm trying to think of his name. Yeah, that's. I'm going to go with Chase Utley.
Yeah, Chase.
Chase Utley from UCLA. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Wrong.
Wrong.
Laura, you have any idea who might that have been?
I'm going with Chase Utley.
Wrong. Jimmy Rollins in 2007 went over.
Oh, the little shortstop.
Yeah.
Wasn't he a switch hitter?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very good. All right, one final question.
On and off the field. No, I'm just joking.
In our last two minutes, this is a question I've always enjoyed. And Matthew, you're going to go first on this. You are a sports historian.
Oh, geez.
Last three teams to use the single wing in college football. Last three schools to use the single wing in collegiate football. Might have been.
Jeez. Thing is,
59 or 60, they ended.
59 or 60. I'm thinking Pitt, maybe.
Pitt. Just name one.
Pitt. Under John Michelosen. Pitt.
Well, is that your guess?
Yeah, I'm going because he was big on the single wing. He was a Jock Sutherland disciple. I'm going with Pitt under John Michelosen.
Laura, name a team. There are three schools that ended about the same time in 59 and 60, the single wing. Who might that have been? What school?
I was too young in the 60s to know that. So I'm going to pass the baton to Art.
At 37, you're much too young.
I was
39, excuse me. Art, you're 127, so you got a pretty good shot at this.
I'm thinking that Billy Kilmer keeps coming to mind in my brain. And
you're talking
wondering,
that's the 49ers, though. That's pro. We're talking college.
Okay, that was under college. Red Hickey when he was with the 49ers.
Yeah, that's pros. That's a pro.
Okay.
That's a
so it wouldn't have been Tommy Prothrow. So I'm going to go with, Bear Bryant in Alabama?
All right. Bottom line is UCLA, you were right. You should have stuck to Billy Kilmer.
See, I was right.
Tennessee and this school, which really wasn't Division One. But it played the single wing. I'll give you a hint.
Is it Ivy Lake School?
Whoa.
Princeton.
Princeton. It was the three schools that ended in 59 and 60, the single wing. Princeton, UCLA, and Tennessee. And now, of course, UCLA trading quarterbacks with Tennessee. So they've always been very, very close together.
Then there's the wing T with Tubby Raymond at Delaware. That was another.
That's
good
what
one.
Alabama was using at then, a wing T. They didn't
there
have the wishbone
there
yet.
You
they
go. Were yeah.
I heard that from Leroy Jordan. That's what he told me when I late Leroy Jordan when I interviewed.
What a great linebacker! Another great underrated player.
Yeah, we're going to come back with baseball in the Roaring Twenties. Author Thomas Wolfe, Nebraska Press, and Amazon.com, major bookstores everywhere. We'll come back with Thomas Wolfe and a whole lot more on Sports Overnight.
That leaf pile is 100 feet tall. Your dad can't handle this.
Not without the right equipment.
Yard work piling up? Gear up for fall with John Deere. Get $750 off select mowers, $2,000 off select Gator UVs, and $3,000 off select compact tractors.
Did I hear your dad got a John Deere?
Yep, bad day to be a leaf pile.
Gear up for fall at an authorized John Deere dealer, now through September 30th. Learn more at johndeere.com/gearupforfall.
Let's go!
You're still glowing, flirting, grooving. You still got it. But your immune system weakens as you age, making it harder to fight flu, pneumococcal pneumonia, RSV, and COVID-19. Vaccines are a key part of any health routine and help strengthen your immune response. Ask your doctor or pharmacist which vaccines you need. Schedule in minutes at VaxAssist.com. Sponsored by Pfizer.
Find what you love, love what you find. A Total Wine and More, there's so much waiting for you. Spirits and beer, thousands of wines. Walk right through the door, it's all here to explore. With guides in the know and prices so low, it just might blow your mind. You're gonna find what you love and love what you find.
Drink responsibly, B21.
Have you been daydreaming about losing weight for years? Do you just yo-yo back and forth? At Innovative Wellness Center, we have a holistic weight loss program that allows you to lose up to 20 pounds in 30 days. People are losing weight like crazy and keeping it off. It can be done from anywhere in the United States. Go to our website at www.innovativewellness.center and schedule your complimentary consultation today.
All right, Takis fans, Wendy's knows you love your Takis Fuego chips. So we thought, why not make a Takis Fuego meal with a Takis Fuego chicken sandwich with spicy chicken topped with crushed Takis Fuego chips and creamy corn spread. Plus, it comes with Fuego fries inspired by Takis and a bag of Takis Fuego chips. If we add any more heat, we might start an actual... I told him this would happen. For an intense new take on Takis chips, gotta be Wendy's.
Limited time only. Participating U.S. Wendy's includes 1 ounce Takis Fuego chips while supplies last. Takis and Fuego trademarks are used under license.
Progressive's AutoQuote Explorer lets you easily compare direct rates from different insurance companies, so you can be confident you're getting the right one, even if it's not with Progressive. Way more confident than you were when you bought that TV in the parking lot. It just happened to not come in a box or include a remote. And when you finally managed to turn it on, all it displayed was the menu of Grumpy's Tacos. So use Progressive's AutoQuote Explorer and be confident you're getting insurance that's right for you. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. Sports Overnight in America. We are heard everywhere. And we had Thomas Wolfe on a few years ago when he wrote the book on the called shot in 1932. but now he's gone back another 6 years, baseball in the roaring 20s. Thomas Wolfe, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Great to be here.
You know, I enjoyed the book, not just necessarily just because of the comments about baseball, but baseball and history, baseball and the politics of the era. Talk about the Ku Klux Klan, Major League Baseball, Foster trying to get black players into the major leagues, and Keyshawn Mountain Landis, who most of us just know from 1990 and the Black Sox-White Sox deal. Talk about it.
Okay, well, that covers a lot of ground. Well, the 1920s, first of all, were really interesting for me to research, both because the baseball was so good and because the country was responding after World War I and prior to the Great Depression and World War II in a really unique way. It's a very unique decade, and it's a decade that included great things, baseball in particular, Charles Lindbergh. But as you mentioned in the intro and in the question, religion was very important. Evangelists were very prominent in society. The Ku Klux Klan was on the rise. There was a great deal of discrimination, not only against blacks in baseball, but against the Irish and Italians. The National Origins Act in 1924, kind of dominated politics. And of course, 1926 baseball season came right in the middle of Prohibition. So you had all these factors, kind of happening at the same time, which is wonderful material for a writer because there's so much to write about and draw on.
Talking to Thomas Wolfe, Baseball in the Roaring 20s, published by Nebraska Press, Amazon.com. Artie, you're 127 years of age, so right in the middle. Take it away.
Well, I wanted to say you mentioned all these wonderful things that happened in the Roaring 20s. What kind of an effect did the stock market crash have on baseball in 1926, 27, and 28?
Well, the stock market crash really wasn't until 29. So
okay. Well, I was sleeping in those days. I was still
yeah,
a baby.
Well, weren't we all? yeah, I think the middle of the 20s was a very prosperous time for most Americans. And there were a lot of cultural things happening. The jazz movement, it's called the jazz age, mm-hmm. was important. So I think that Americans generally in 1926 were extremely optimistic about the future, and they were prosperous. They were buying autos. They were buying radios. So they didn't really see what was on the horizon, which was the stock market crash. And when that happened, it drove down attendance at Major League Baseball considerably. Fans could still access games on the radio because radio.
That's what I was going to get to. Was that the beginning of the media being able to broadcast baseball? Because a lot of people, and we're almost back there now, if you look at it, Thomas, the prices of baseball games, a lot of people, the only way they could keep in contact with the game is through radio and or TV or streaming.
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah, radio was really developing in terms of baseball, in terms of broadcasting baseball throughout the 20s. But by 1926, there were a lot of games on the radio. And I actually wasn't born then, but my grandfather was, and he lived in Wabash, Indiana. He became a Cubs fan. He was an immigrant from Germany. He became a Cubs fan because he could listen to the games on the radio. Wow. in his store. And then a couple times a year, he would get a carload together. He earned enough money to buy a car. He'd get a carload of fans together. They'd drive from Wabash, Indiana to Chicago, see a game at Wrigley Field, and drive back.
How spectacular.
That's a different era and a different way of appreciating the game. Yeah. But radio really helped to grow and stabilize the game during the Depression years when the rest of the country was suffering. And as you say, ticket prices were higher. People didn't have nearly as much money, much more unemployment. But baseball fans could still follow their favorite teams.
We miss those 50,000-watt AM stations. Laura's 29 years of age. You're on with Thomas Wolfe, Baseball in the Roaring 20s. Laura, take it away.
Oh, hi. It's interesting that you characterize the 20s as being prosperous, because I think it was prosperous for a lot of people, but it wasn't so prosperous for a lot of people. And it was kind of, if you look at history, it was kind of we had the Gilded Age kind of at the turn of the century. Mm-hmm. And then we had the World War I, which always kind of buoys the economy because there's a lot of activity. And then you had this sort of, kind of in the 20s, it was kind of an interesting period because you had this sort of, you know, rebellion in a way with the jazz age and then the flappers and then it ended up in the 30s. It's kind of an interesting period. I would imagine that it was a lot of fun to research it and in relating it to baseball.
Yeah, it was fun to research and very challenging. I'm not a history major. I'm not an academic. And so I was kind of learning everything for the first time. And Fred mentioned Black history and the history of Black baseball. And you mentioned, of course, that not everybody was prosperous. And of course, Black baseball was very important in the Black communities, not only in major cities, but out west and in the Midwest and in the South, where Black teams could barnstorm.
And there were no major league teams in the South in those days, right?
No. The furthest South team was Washington Senators. Furthest West team was the St. Louis Cardinals. So
and the
white major leagues were all just in the kind of a Northeast quadrant of the country. But in the off season, those prominent players, white and Black, barnstormed. And so if you lived in Omaha, Nebraska, you could see Major League Baseball in the off season. Those teams would come through. And I think that's a really remarkable thing about the era also. Thanks to automobiles and to train travel, we were more connected, I think, than people often realize.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Talking to Thomas Wolfe, baseball in the Roaring Twenties, our sports historian, Matthew Diabas now with us. And Matthew, on with Thomas Wolfe.
Tom, there's a question that I didn't get a chance to ask you last night. I want to ask you here. Now, I already talked about the stock market and all that, but of course, the 26th season happened before the crash. But tell me if your research confirmed this. I thought I heard something that Miller Huggins was a very shrewd of the stock market there. He really knew how to maximize his money, and he used to give his players like Tony Lazzari tips. Okay, why don't you purchase this type of stock here and enhance your earnings? And it helped them out enormously. Did your own research confirm that, or am I wrong in that? Am I wrong in that assumption?
No, I think you're right. Huggins was a very smart guy. I mean, he had a law degree from the University of Cincinnati. You know, if baseball hadn't worked out, he could have been a very prominent lawyer. And he was smart enough to buy a lot of land in Florida, the Florida land boom.
Wow.
And he was even smarter than most because he sold it at the beginning of the 1926 season before the crash.
Yeah.
Now, maybe that was because he was really shrewd. Maybe he was just lucky. John McGraw, for example, had a lot of property in Florida that he hung on to, and he lost a lot of money. He was building a retirement home there, and he basically had to sell his retirement home before it was finished building because he hung on to property that just nosedived in value.
Yeah. So in your opinion, who do you think was the preeminent, and everybody's going to probably say Babe Ruth, but who was the preeminent player in the Roaring Twenties?
Well, in the early part of the Roaring Twenties, you certainly had Ruth and Hornsby as the two prominent players. But in 1925, Ruth had a terrible slump. He had a terrible year. He hit 290. He was in the hospital. He missed a lot of games. He was ill. He clashed with his manager. I think he hit 25 home runs that year.
Yeah.
Hornsby, on the other hand, and they're basically the same age. They're born 14 months apart. But Hornsby in 25 hit 403 as a playing manager, hit 39 home runs, drove in 143 runs.
Yeah.
I mean, Hornsby's numbers versus Ruth's numbers are extremely different. I have a little graph at the beginning of the book that gives their statistics from 1925. So going into 26, Hornsby was on an upslope. I actually hit 400. I believe three of the previous 4 years.
Yeah, he did.
Ruth was considered to be out of shape and on a downhill slide, but he recovered. He rebounded like the Yankees rebounded, because the Yankees were a seventh place team in 1925 and won the pennant then in 1926. So 1926 was a comeback year for Ruth and the Yankees, and it was a year that Hornsby and the Cardinals were actually coalescing into a really solid franchise.
Talking to Thomas Wolfe, baseball in the Roaring Twenties. And Thomas, they had the Klan, and Trump has his Proud Boys, not 6 million, but I guess it's growing. Reason I bring that up is Matthew mentioned Tony Lazzari. Now, I knew about the epilepsy. I did not know about the state laws in some states that if you're an epileptic, you couldn't do this or you couldn't do that. Explain that, because the world has come back to where it is that then and now. It's totally confusing.
Yeah, I think there were a number of states where you could not marry if you were epileptic. It was considered an affliction that could be passed on genetically.
Wow.
And so Lazeri was an epileptic. But probably what held his career back a little bit was the fact that he was Italian. There were only 10 Italians who played in the major leagues in the decade of the 20s. And the Yankees, I think, took a chance on Lazeri partly because there was a large Italian population in New York City.
Bronx,
and they thought if Lazeri panned out, he would bring more fans to the ballpark, and so they overlooked his ethnicity. But Lazeri is a fascinating case. And of course, you know, he's involved then in the famous half inning where he gets struck out by Grover Cleveland Alexander, probably the most talked about half inning in baseball history.
Yeah,
he died very young, did he not?
I'm not sure exactly how old he would have been in his rookie year in the majors. He would have been 24 or 25.
Yeah, he died in 1945. He had a seizure and he went down a flight of steps.
Right, that's correct. Yeah,
I forget what his age was, but it was like 45 or something like that. And don't forget, Grover Cleveland Alexander, he was an epileptic too.
Right. Yeah. I mean, we talk about that at bat of Lazeri's against Grover Cleveland Alexander. You know, the famous at bat, bottom of the seventh inning, bases loaded, Yankees down one run, and Alexander strikes out Lazeri, but it was an epileptic pitching to an epileptic.
Yeah.
Hey, I mean, Thomas, how weird is that?
Yeah. In our last 60 seconds, mention all the pitchers that moved from Harry Frazee's Red Sox to the Yankees in like a 5-year period.
Yeah. Oh, gosh, I can't name them all. There's one I think of. That's Babe Ruth.
Lefty.
I got one. Wade Hoyt, I believe Red Ruffing. Did he come from the?
He came from the Red Sox, but that was not Harry Frazee. But it's Sad Sam Jones, Herb Pennock, Wade Hoyt.
Oh, right, right. Hoyt.
And I forget someone else. Criminy. Nuts.
That's Ernie Shore. I don't think Ernie Shore went to the Yankees.
So it was more than just the curse of the Babe, right?
Curse of the Bambino.
Curse of the Bambino, right?
It was the curse of Harry Frazee.
Yeah.
Thomas, how long did it take you to put this book together?
The research and the writing took about 4 years. And then, you know, as you know how publishing work, it was another year after I turned the book in before you know, actually came out, but about 4 years of research and writing.
Do they have any old film of that era? Because that would be a great, great, you know how they did the baseball wonderful thing that Ken Burns did? I mean, the Roaring Twenties, that would be either a great movie, a great docuseries. I think it'd be fantastic.
There is film. I've seen it. It was on Ken Burns' Baseball, the 1920s episode. You see Alexander striking out Lazeri, and you also see Babe Ruth being caught stealing at second base. There is film, but it's that herky-jerky, super fast motion film. It does exist. There is film. I mean, Tom, you saw it too, right?
Yeah,
it does exist, Artie. I don't have it in full form, but I saw those little brief clips there in Ken Burns' thing. Yes, there is film.
Thomas Wolfe, we enjoyed your appearance. I really enjoyed your book, Baseball in the Roaring Twenties, published by Nebraska Press, Amazon.com, major big stores everywhere, And Thomas, we'll do it again. And thank you for appearing on the show.
Thanks for having me. This has been a delightful conversation. Really enjoyed it.
Awesome.
Thomas Wolfe with us more.
Beautiful.
More on Sports Overnight America.
One out of two Americans thinks their life is worthy of a book. Here's another startling stat. You may be one of the 15% of people who bothered to start your book and one of the 6% that got halfway through it, but your gem of an idea likely died. Or did it? Some published authors are making significant money, so join the ranks of the successful people that finish their books with help from Dorrance Publishing. Call right now and our experienced editors and writers will explain to you what it's going to take to get your book completely written, published, and then taken to market to sell it. It's a free consultation, so call right now. Find out how much time and money it takes to finally get that book idea of yours published. Make your dreams happen. Call Dorrance Publishing right now.
800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. That's 800-485-6003.
Do you have Medicare and do you use a CPAP machine? This is a national healthcare alert regarding your CPAP supplies. Using a clean CPAP mask and clean supplies is important to staying healthy. The best way to make sure your CPAP equipment is clean is to get new supplies. If you have Medicare, we have great news. Medicare will pay for you to have new clean supplies every 90 days. We'll even do all the paperwork for you to make sure that there's little to no out-of-pocket cost to you. And you don't even have to leave your home. We provide free in-home delivery. So if you're a CPAP user and you have Medicare, staying healthy with new CPAP equipment is easy. Just make this free phone call right now to get started.
Sponsored by Specialty Medical. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. That's 800-913-9739.
If you're struggling to keep up with conversations, avoiding restaurants because you can't understand the waiter, if you've got the TV volume way up, then you really need these. These tiny but powerful little hearing aids are the Nano CIC rechargeable, priced at only $297 for a full pair. And no, these are not simply amplifiers. These are ultra high quality, ultra reliable hearing aids, priced thousands less than other hearing aids. They fit right in your ear. Nothing shows on the back of your ear. And at only $297 for a full pair. When you order today, Nano will give you a 45-day money-back guarantee. Order right now and Nano will give you a free portable charging case and even ship them to you for free. Here's the number. Call now.
800-278-1738. 800-278-1738. 800-278-1738. That's 800-278-1738.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. Sports Overnight America. I'd like to thank Thomas Wolfe, Baseball in the Roaring Twenties, Nebraska Press, Amazon.com. In our last couple of minutes, folks, Caitlin Clark is out for the season with the Indiana Fever. Artie, you have any idea how many games she played this year?
I'm going to say 12.
12 games? She actually played only 13 games, so you were right on target. Is anybody watching the WNBA without her? Now, Angel Reese has been suspended a game for technicals. And without Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese, anybody watching?
Las Vegas Aces are really doing well. And they're, really? I think, probably one of the only teams that's got great crowds right now.
Yeah. I just saw last night a commercial of that Collier, I forget her first name. She plays, was it Minnesota? She was modeling clothes, you know, playing basketball and modeling these fashionable clothes there. That's the first I've ever seen like that, you know?
I want to see Sweeney play basketball.
That commercial, too? Did you see that? Yeah. Yeah.
Laura, did you see that commercial? And have you watched many games without Caitlin Clark being on the court?
You know, there's too many sports on. I mean, there's so many sports on that I want to watch that literally I would do nothing else but watch sports.
35 college football games on national TV tomorrow.
Yeah, I guess it would be okay, but I do actually have other interests and other activities I want to engage in. So I have not been watching the WNBA. I'll probably watch the playoffs. I think the playoffs are starting pretty soon.
Tuesday, I think.
But
Artie, Bill Belichick, college coach of the year so far.
Yeah, no. that was pretty scary. I got to tell you, you know, when they came out and they marched right down the field, it was 7-0. They looked like they were roaring, and then the rug got pulled right out from under them. And I got to tell you, I got to be honest with you. I think a lot of college coaches want to lay the lumber to this guy.
Yeah, right. And I got a little thing I want to add.
Go ahead.
His trophy is very, 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 very young trophy wife. If North Carolina keeps going straight down the tubes, I wonder how faithful will she be to that marriage if she's hooked her star to a who's making a
home. Well, I think the real reason he took the job, honestly, is I think to set up his son, Steve, to get his career started. That's really my theory on why he took the North Carolina job.
No, I heard he's barring Patriot scouts from the team because he's like got this big feud with Kraft, so he's not allowed. So he's screwing his own players.
So he's not going to get a statue in front of the stadium in Foxborough.
Maybe something Kraft that he can throw rocks at.
Kraft said he's going to get one.
Oh, he's going to get one. Okay, good.
Kraft said he's going to go. All right, that's it. Thank you, Mario. Thank you, Matthew. Thank you, Laura. Thank you, Art. I'm Fred. All night long, more of Sports Overnight America.